Okay, so today is the 17th of January, 2019. There's no calendar here. Oh, here it is. Well, today is the 11th of Shvat, Tavshin Ayin Tes. And we are up to Halacha Day of Perek Tesvav. So there actually are a bunch of halachas to choose from over the course of this perek. You could have done a discussion in Hilchos Chala. We could have done a discussion in the Nesachim, the issue of Nesachim, and from there outgrowth as well, the idea of Yai Nesach. We could have talked about that. We could have talked about Hilchos Tzitzis. All that's available. But actually we found the halachic topic that actually has to do with how do we actually understand the Pasuk. So the Pasuk, there is a story of... the one narrative that appears in this parak is the story of the Mekoshesh Eitzim, the story of the collector of sticks, a collector of wood. Right. So, what happened? See, he did something on Shabbos. He collected this wood on Shabbos, and as a result, that's a violation of one of the malachos of Shabbos, and therefore he was chayiv misa. Right. What malacha did he violate?
Carrying.
Wow, right off the bat, carrying. Interesting. Okay, any other ideas?
Picking up something.
Well, that's in the category of carrying or some other issue?
Picking up in
Rishus
HaRabim,
chopping.
So it's still a carrying issue, I mean, picking up in Rishus HaRabim. What do you got?
Chopping.
What did you say, he chopped?
Oh, yeah.
Harvest.
So harvesting is different than chop. Harvesting, he was kotzer. He harvested from the ground. Yeah.
Separating.
No, he didn't. Well, what did he separate?
Picking up the good sticks, the bad sticks.
Oh, the borers, the choosing good sticks and bad sticks. Okay. So there's one more, which is the most obvious answer. It's the most obvious malacha. The problem is it's not so well known that it's actually one of the 39 malachos, and that is the malacha of ma'amir. The malacha of ma'amir is the malacha of gathering. Right, there's a prohibition of going out to the field and gathering things. So that seems like it should fit the psukim very well, right? What does the pasuk say? The pasuk perek tesvav pasuk lamed beis ayuben esol ben yirarvim su ish mekoshesh eitzim biyom haShabbos. The person was gathering wood on Shabbos, and they brought him in, and they ultimately put him in jail, and then put him eventually chayav misa. So from the pasuk, what does it sound like he did? It sounds like a pretty good fit for the malacha of ma'amir, right? So the problem, well, the issue is the Gemara itself. While this discussion, malakit. Oh, in the pasuk, well, it says mekoshesh. So what is mekoshesh? So it's translated as gathering. Rashi comments nothing. I mean, Rashi doesn't comment about what the specific word is. But the Gemara has the same debate that we just had. What malacha was being violated with regards to this guy in the desert? Now, the Gemara actually, at the end of the page, gets into who was this guy. Right? The story that the Mekoshesh was Slavka, that appears later on. And then, isn't it just a very interesting side? This could also have been a candidate for Malacha Day, that Rabbi Akiva is the one who figures out that it was Slavka. So the Gemara turns to Rabbi Akiva and says, you know, if the Torah didn't want to tell us, why do you feel that it's the right thing to tell us, right? The Slavchad of the man with all the daughters, right? So that guy, so he was the one who violated here. So the Gemara actually comments, so Rabbi Akiva says it was him, and figures out how it was him. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir says to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, benkach ubenkach asid litein asadin, right? Either way, you're going to have to give an accounting for what you just said. Because if you're right, so the Torah is keeping it covered, and you decide to reveal it. But if you're not correct, atamotzilah zalosatzadik. So what are you doing saying bad things about the tzaddik slavchad? So either you're saying lashon hara or you're saying motzi shemra. That's the kasha that's asked to Rabbi Akiva. And I believe, I'm not sure, and then the Gemara like discusses that a little bit, but I believe that is in the introduction to the book The Making of a Gadol. I believe this Gemara is quoted about that issue. Rabbi Akiva has to defend himself. What?
Where does he get it from?
How does he figure it out? He has a gezeirah shavah to figure it out. Yes. It says here, because it says, by Hubin Esopa Midbar, Vimsu Ish, etc. That's what it says in our pasuk. And later on in Parshas Pinchas, it says, Avinum Beis Bamidbar, in the wilderness. So that term, the wilderness, I guess, is the Gezer Shava between the two places. Okay, so either, right, so that one of the, that's where we keep defending himself. Anyways, but that's the next Gemara. The previous Gemara, the way the Gemara gets into this issue, is that it is a discussion about what exactly this guy violated. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. This is on Shabbos Daf Tzadi Vav Amar Beis. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Mekoshish Mavir Arba Amos Bershus Rabbim Hav. That the gatherer, that this guy, see, he transported Dalet Amos in Rishus Rabbim. That was his violation, as was one of these suggestions here. B'masnisa Tana. Right, in the there's a brisa where it taught tolish hava, that he was doing tolish. What's tolish? Tolish is to detach, which is a malacha of kotzer. Right, he was detaching off the ground. The problem wasn't that he picked them up. The problem wasn't that he gathered it. The problem was that he detached it from the tree or detached it from the ground, which is a violation of kotzer. Well, why are you looking at me like that?
Did it say he actually was detaching?
Well, the Gemara has to figure out what he did, right? So one second. We'll get to in a second. Your issue in a second. Rav Acha b'Rabbi Yaakov. The Gemara continues on. Rav Acha b'Rabbi Yaakov Omer Ma'amir Hava. No, he was a violation of the Malacha of Ma'amir. He was gathering, right? So you have those three possibilities. So the Gemara asks, you know, this is a very interesting exercise, but who cares, right? L'may nafkamina, right? Why are we bothered by this issue other than understanding Pshat and the Pasuk? So my answer is, well, because there's an issue raised by Rav. Why Amar Rav? Rav commented one. Matzasi Megalis Sesarim. Bei Rabbi Chia, that I once found this scroll in Rabbi Chia's house. The Chasav Bei Isi Ben Yehuda Omer Avos Malachos Arbaim Chaser Achas. There's 40 minus one Malachos, otherwise known as 39. Right? The Einu Chayev El Achas, and you'd only be Chayev for one. Okay, that's what the line said. And the girl will get into in a second what in the world that means. But just I want to point out another interesting side point. Rav said that I saw a Megillah Sesarim in the house of Rabbi Chia. What's the significance of Rabbi Chia? Who's Rabbi Chia's Rebbe? Anybody know? Rabbi Chia is a Talmud of Rebbe. Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. Right, what is Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi's, what's his claim to fame? He has many claims to fame. What is he most known for nowadays? What did he do with the Mishnah?
Probably.
He compiled the Mishnah. He was the editor of the Mishnah. So Rebbe Chia himself is the one who probably did a lot of that work. Rebbe Chia was the Talmud of Rebbe, right? People say he was the writer of the Mishnah. He wasn't the writer of the Mishnah. He was the editor of the Mishnah. I mean, he probably collected things from earlier. So now you can understand a little bit what this would be, a Megillah Sesarim, a hidden scroll in Rebbe Chia's house. So it's something that apparently didn't make it into the Mishnayos, but it's like it was from the when you cut off the chopping, you know, the
orla.
What?
Orla.
There's a term for it, right? From the floor of the printer's. Whatever the appropriate term is. So that's what he saw. So he sees this line. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Right? That there's 40 minus 39 malachas, you're only chayv one. So the Gemara suggests, well, let's say you violate all 39 and you didn't realize it was all in one loss of consciousness that it was Shabbos. So you'd be chayv for all of them. So you'd be chayv for only one, perhaps. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we don't pasuk in that way. So so rather, they suggest that the Rabbi Yehuda Pshitali de Maver. I'm sorry. So ema eno chayiv al achas behem. So rather, what do they understand is Rav Isi meaning? Rav Isi meant that there's one of the 39 malachos you're not chayiv misa for. This is a mystery, right? There's one of those ones you're not going to be chayiv for. So which one would I, if I had to guess, which one would I say not be chayiv for?
Why does it say
that
you will not be chayiv?
It's this line, right? Avos malachos arbaim chaser achas ve'enu chayiv el achas. Right? So it's a cryptic statement. So the Gemara suggests that that's what it means. So the Gemara then says, well, Rav Yehuda Pshitulei Demaver Chayiv. So now, whichever one you assume the Mekoshesh was Chayiv for, so that obviously means that that's not the one of the 39, right? Rav Yehuda Pshitulei Demaver Chayiv, so he obviously holds that transport would be Chayiv. This Bryce obviously holds that Tolish would be Chayiv. And Racham Yaakov obviously holds that Ma'amr you'd be Chayiv on. Okay? And, fine. And that's the end of the Gemara. Right? So...
They're
what? No, they're only because whatever they assume is this story in Chumash is representing, right. So he was put to death. So obviously you're Chayiv Misa for that Malacha. So in terms of you tracking down which is this mysterious one Malacha that EC held you're not Chayiv Misa for, so whoever said, whatever you hold about that story in Chumash, it's obviously not that one. Now you have a bit of an issue, like, okay, well then there's this mysterious one out there, so then everyone can claim if you're going to be Chayiv Misa for Shabbos, this is the one you're not Chayiv. I'm the one. Remember. But anyways, that's how the Gemara concludes. So we're going to, of those three, we've talked about Hotzah before. I thought about maybe we would talk about Tolish as well as Ma'amir, but then Ma'amir, I got stuck in Ma'amir. So Ma'amir is a Malacha of gathering. Now what does gathering mean? Does gathering mean that I can't gather plates up from the tables on Shabbos? Does gathering mean that I can't, that I can't pick up a bundle of spoons and put them out on the table? I can't gather Sfarim together in order to put them away on the shelf? There might be other issues involved with that. All right, what is this Malacha of Ma'amir? So the Rashi, there's a Rashi here that sort of is a tip-in. Rashi comments, Ma'amir, why? Tolushim umufuzarin hayu, because these sticks that he picked up were spread out. Va'amru, and he collected them. As we learn, Haiman de Chanif Malcha, Chayv Mishum Ma'amir. As we learn from a previous Gemara, that find Gimlam and Beis, that the guy who goes and collects the salts from the salt beds, so then you would be Chayiv for Ma'amir. Right? And that's what Rashi says. Now, that's a little bit of an odd comment for Rashi to say in this Gemara. Right? I understand what Rashi wants to tell us what Ba'amir is. Okay, Tulushim Vuzarim Hayu Ba'amrim. Right? They were spread out. I mean, he's explaining the story in Chumash. The sticks were all spread out, and he gathered them together. And if he gathered them together, she Yechayah for Ma'amir. Why does Rashi then have to jump in and say, just like the case of the salt? Right? What's Rashi telling you there? So there is, we've come across the Sefer Achinuch and the Minchas Chinuch, right? We've used those far, right? So who wrote the Sefer Achinuch? What? Right, you don't know, and neither does anyone else. Right, we don't know who wrote the Sefer Achinuch. The story is probably, it's a Rishon. He gets credited as being the Rishon. Supposedly it was written for him to learn with his son for his bar mitzvah or something. So that is the Sefer Achinuch. The Minchas Chinuch is a commentary, so to speak, a commentary, yeah, but really goes way beyond what commenting on the Sefer Achinuch, and really is going mitzvah by mitzvah and writing interesting things to learn about each mitzvah. So then on the mitzvah of Zachor is Yom HaShabbos Lekatsho, actually not Zachor, but the Shalolah Sos Malacha and Shabbat, Lo Taseh Kol Malacha on that. So instead of just writing about the prohibition of doing Malacha, he decides to go for, I don't know, a while, 40 pages or so, in a small print, where he goes through every Malacha and gives you some interesting things about each Malacha. So on the Malacha of Ma'amir, so he picks up on this Rashi. What?
Tell you which one you're not chayiv to?
Yeah, I don't think. I don't know. I don't think so.
This 40 minus 1.
Who is the one? It's also not necessarily true that we hold like Isi, meaning the Gemara is suggesting that it's something that was meant by Isi ben Yehuda. No, it's unclear whether that means that we have to paskin that way or not.
Well, he must have thought
of it. Isi.
He must have known. No?
What do you mean? Isi did.
Isi.
I guess.
Believe that there was one that he
worked by. Okay. I'm not even sure who Isi ben Yehuda it was written down that Isi ben Yehuda said it.
We ran across Isi ben Yehuda this morning in our Gemara. I don't know who he was.
Okay. Well, he's obviously before Rav Chiya, which would place him in the Tanaic period. Yeah, okay. All right, so the... this Rashi perhaps is tipping his hand with regards to how he holds with regards to the most important machlokas when it comes to the halachos of Ma'amir, right? So what is included in the malach of Ma'amir? So in this little section here, the Musach HaShabbos in the section of Ma'amir, so he quotes this Gemara, he quotes the Rashi, and he says, "V'divrei Rashi tamuin," right? And Rashi is strange, right? Maitzar, why do we have to bring this story? Do we not know that Ma'avir is one of the Ya'av Malachos? Right? It was just said. It's actually a Mishnah that was mentioned right previously. We know essentially what Ma'amir is. So what is Rashi doing by quoting this? So then he said, "V'tzarchi in galdu b'divrei Rashi, v'lo matzasi b'shum sefer sha'ama b'divrei Rashi elu." I haven't found one sefer that discusses this Rashi. Aval. Be'ezus Hashem kavanti emes bedvarav. I have figured out what Rashi means. Right, that's a pretty strong statement. I figured out what Rashi is driving at. Right, the Rashi al daito the mehamishna the beitzim uchiach the beitzim lo shayach ma'amir, because Rashi Brings up the idea that there is a Mishnah in Maseches Beitza. We'll get to this Mishnah, but the Mishnah in Beitza Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, where he talks about collecting things, and the Gemara does not bring up that the issue at hand is Ma'amer. It does not bring up that the issue is Ma'amer. It talks about, oh, it must be that you're cutting, doing kotzer, something of that nature. But it does bring up the Ma'amer issue. So what does he say? Right? So Tosos there brings this up. What happened to the Malacha of Ma'amer? And Tosos explains, one of the issues with Ma'amer, one of the requirements of Ma'amer, is that it has to be the Makom Gidulo, that it has to be in the place where it grew. So if it's already in the house, it's not going to be a violation of Ma'amer, although there might be a major exception to that. But it has to be in the place where it grows. But however, how did I get that? The Efshar Chiluku Bein Ochlim Le'etzim. That maybe the difference is between food and wood. That maybe the Balach of Ma'amer is only going on food. So therefore, Rashi says that that's not the answer. That the guy who collects salt, so you're going to be considered chayef. What does that indicate? That even collecting things that aren't food, one could still be chayef. Now, Sam is looking at me with that like cross-eyed look. Why?
Is salt not food?
Why? Who says, what is salt not food? Right? Salt sounds like a pretty good food to me. Right? And Abai argues, by the way, in Finnish, Einu Gedulei Karka, Abal Zek Kulam Sovrim the Shayach Maimer Vimelach. Rak, the Rabba Sovr the Gambe Einu Gedulei Karka, Abai Sovr the Afka Gedulei Karka. Right? So he's saying, Melach is going to be Chayiv, the salt is going to be Chayiv. But so Rashi is saying that, don't think that the distinction is that, oh, you're not chayv ma'amer for wood because it's not food, because everybody knows you're chayv ma'amer for salt, and, well, not everybody knows, it's actually machlokas in the Gemara, but salt, but you are going to be chayv ma'amer with regards to salt, and that's not a food either. So why is it not a food? So he continues on and said, v'ha melech lav ochel hu, and how do you know that melech, that salt is not a food? Because it's a beferish Rashi, in Maseches Baba Basra, daf chaf amad aleph. Why? That the lo makabel tuma. That it's not makabel tuma. Why? The lab ochel hu. Because it's not food. What's it talking about over there? So the Gemara Maseches Baba Basra is discussing how do you minimize the amount of space for tuma to go through. That when there's a tumas mace, the tumas mace will go from room to room depending on the size of the opening. So if there's a small opening, I don't remember the sheer exact. I think it might be an amma by an amma, but I'm not sure. Right. So an amma by an amma is enough for the, maybe it's less than that, for the tumah to go through. So the Gemara there discusses things that would stop, that would plug up the hole, right? So what are one of the things that are listed there that would plug up the hole? Salt, right? So salt is food, and salt would be makabel tumah because it's food. So I says, what do you see? You see that salt is not makabel tumah, right? So therefore Rashi says, the fact that you'd be chayiv for salt, right, even though it's not food, shows what? That you're chayiv for ma'amer, even if it is a something that is not a food, and that's why Rashi wants to invoke it here, right? Because what's the story? The most obvious issue and the most simple explanation in the pasuk, right? Of what malacha could you see in the pasuk, right? The malacha you could see in the pasuk is the guy picking things up, right? The other possibilities you have to develop it a little bit more, right? Not only did he pick it up, but he carried it from outside the air and brought it in, something like that. You have to like add something into the pasuk to figure that out, right? If you're going to say that he's violating the prohibition of kotzer, right? So who says that it was attached to the ground? Right, you have to add that into the pasuk. The thing that you don't have to add anything into the pasuk for is gathering. So why would the whole world agree that it was gathering? Why would the whole world agree that the thing that Slavcha or the Mekoshesh that he was doing was gathering? Why would everybody agree to that? Because who says that there's gathering is a violation? Who says that you violate Ma'amir just by picking up wood? So it comes Rashi and says, here you go. Right? That at least according to this Shita, you see that one is Chayiv Ma'amir even if the thing is not food. So who is the most important person that argues on this Rashi? The most important arguer on this Rashi is the Rambam. Right, the Rambam Paskins again. The Rambam Paskins that the way he writes is Hamamir Ochlim. That's the way he begins in Perek Ches Halacha Hey. He begins with that one who collects food, and his entire argument, the entire issue, has to do with the collection of food. So
He's arguing that wood is food?
What?
He's arguing that wood
is... Well, no. So he's arguing... No, no, no. So what the Rambam... See, the Rambam is not writing a pshat in Chumash. The Rambam is writing a halacha sefer. So Rashi might be saying, yeah, this makes sense, because you be chai ma'amer when it comes to even things that are not food. So the Rambam is saying, okay, that's nice, but we don't paskin that way. Right? We're going to paskin that one is not going to be chayiv for gathering unless it actually is a food. Even if it's something that's only food for an animal, still that would be considered a Michael. So then he asks, so how did the Rambam get this? So Rambam got this from that Mishnah in Beitzah, where the Mishnah talks about collecting sticks. And Tosfos wonders, hey, why is it collecting sticks and it being a violation of kotzer and other things? So Tosfos asks, hey, why isn't it a violation of Ma'amir? So Tosfos explains, because it's not Makum Gidula, it's not in the place where it grows. The Rambam says, no, I'll tell you why it's not a Malacha of Ma'amir, because it's not food, right? And therefore the Rambam is consistent in saying that that you're only Chayiv Ma'amir if you're in violation of food. So you have a little bit of, you have one point that's going to be hanging though, and that is, what about the salt? Right? Why would one be in violation of the salt? Right? If an Rambam says you're only chayiv in violation of Ma'amir when it comes to food, so why would you not be in violation of Ma'amir? Why would you be in violation when it comes to gathering salt? So, what would Khan? What's the obvious answer? Salt is food, right? But wait a second. Barashi would bring a proof, or the Minchas Chinuch brought a proof on behalf of Rashi, claiming that salt is not food. So he says, yeah, that's Rashi. But there's the Rambam doesn't hold that way. The Rambam holds that there's other reasons, right? And you got to figure out why the Rambam is. But the Rambam agrees, assumes that salt is food, and yet there might be another reason why it would still be considered a hefsek. Why it would still be considered a separation in terms of the tumah going from one end to the other end. So therefore, it's the way it lines up is that Rashi assumes that it's all that ma'amir could be even on non-food items, while the Rambam assumes that it will be on food items. Now there is one more detail here. It's also sort of a larger issue, and that is it here or it's. Maybe it's here. Yeah, the Rambam also said that Hamakabitz the veil of Asmi Mena Igul O Shehichnis Hachevel B'Teinim Ashenigvus Suguf Echad Hareza told us Ma'amir that if you take the take dates and you put them on a string or you make them into a cake, so that's a told of Ma'amir. So the Magen Mishnah comment and the Kesef Mishnah comment that he doesn't know where the Rambam got this from, and so too it says in Parak Chaval Lachi Yerav Hamadavik Peros Achiyas Suguf Echad Chayv Mishum Ma'amir. So where did he get this? We need to be the Ma'amir Lo. So it's adding in that, what is that? This isn't what I was looking for. All right, I'll leave that to the side. Fine. So that is their machlokes. So now, what is the? So how does ma'amir carry itself out? Halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh. So if you look in the laws of Shulchan Aruch, so every section of Shulchan Aruch gets its own. As you know, gets its own title, right? B'meh behema yotza b'Shabbos, right? With what can an animal carry on Shabbos? Or just like the nitzrach in the cave of b'meh mekanich b'Shabbos. So somebody who goes to the bathroom, how do they clean themselves afterwards on Shabbos? Or tzedah asurus umutaris b'Shabbos, capturing that is prohibited and permissible on Shabbos. And then you get up to Simen Shin Mem. Simen Shin Mem, the title is... The title is... Kama dina medamir mahasurim b'Shabbos kein tolus miyavos. Right, a lot of halachos having to do with Shabbos. Right, it's miscellaneous. Right? Things that didn't necessarily get their own section elsewhere in Shulchan Aruch sort of get put together over the course of Simin Shin Mem. So what is Shin Mem Sif Test? It says aser lekabitz melach. Right, you're not allowed to collect melach mi masrifos hamelach shedomel lema'amir, because that's like ma'amir v'chein aser lekabitz kol davar mokum gedula. So too, you're not allowed to gather everything when things when it comes to from the you're not allowed to gather things when they are still in the place that they originally grew from. Okay, so if we want to talk, so there are, and Rabbi Rubiat spells it out nicely, he points out that there's four conditions that need to be passed in order to be in violation of the din d'oraisa of ma'amir, gathering on Shabbos. And by because of these four conditions, it becomes pretty difficult in our current circumstance to actually be in violation of this din. Right? So number one, he says it has to be gedulei karka. Now, that's a bit of a machlokas that's out there, but it claims that the Rambam says it has to be something that grows from the ground. This was the issue that the Musaf Shabbos got hung up on, but that seems to be like he seems to be passing like Abaye over Rava, right? And that's a no-no, right? We're generally passing like Rava over Abaye, except for in six cases known by the acronym Yal Kagam. What do the Yal Kagam stand for? So it's six different cases, some of which are subject to Machlokas also. So there's a little bit of Machlokas there too, but. That's what the Kesavish was about. The Kesavish asked, why is it that the Rambam seems to be passing like Abaye over Rava in this case? Some answer that in the Rambam's text of the Gemara, it probably didn't say Rava, but rather it said Rabba. So in Machlokas Abaye and Rabba, one could pass like Abaye. I believe Abaye would be Halacha Kibasrai. Because Abaye is the later position on that. And if we pass like the later position, it's a little counterintuitive, we pass like later positions rather than earlier positions. Therefore, we pass like Abaye. And the Musaf Shabbos here brings some proofs that he thinks that really was Rabba's Shita because of some other Gemaras that Rabba seems to have taken that stand as well. So that's number one, that it has to be Gidule Karka. Number two is that it has to be B'makom Gidula, in the place where it grew. Now, he told that, so that's, right, so it has to have been like out there in the field someplace. It can't just be that, you know, you're carrying your thing of tomatoes, your thing of cherry tomatoes, and you spilled them on the floor. I said, oh, the floor now, oh, the violation of Ma'amir, I can't pick them up. No, it needs to be that it was in the place where it originally grew. What? Number one is it's only on things that are gedulei karka, things that grow from the ground. Right? So plates and spoons and
grow from the ground, and
it has
to be in
the and it has to be there. It has to be out there. So unless one really has a field, it's going to be a little difficult to be in violation of this on a din d'oraisa. Number three, the Aruch HaShulchan then says, to make it much more difficult, is that it has to be in its original form. Right? So it can't be you dropped barrels of ketchup out of the field. Right? It has to still be in its original form. And number four, the Igli Tal says the halacha is in ma'amir achar ma'amir. That once something has been gathered, there is no longer going to be a malacha d'oraisa of gathering it again. So ein ma'amir achar ma'amir. Now there is so if you drop it would be okay. Now there is a rabbinic restriction, as was quoted in Shulchan Aruch, of putting if you gather in dates, so then after you gather in dates, so you have a barrel of dates, then you want to make the date cakes. So you put the date cakes together, that's putting it together again. So it's just, that's a tolda of ma'amir. So that's not b'malkum gidula, right? It's not in the place where it grew, but that's in the place where the date cake making happens. So it seems like that would then be a tolda. Tolda means it's a d'oraisa, so that's a pretty big deal. But generally speaking, this excludes. So there aren't going to be too many cases where this comes up. The one major case would be if you have a fruit tree. So you have a fruit tree and the stuff falls off. Now, if it falls off on Shabbos, it's a problem anyways, plus the issue of muksa. But I lived in Phoenix for a couple of years. Our first house in Phoenix had four grapefruit trees in the backyard. And the grapefruit would fall off. So let's say an Erev Shabbos, I see, oh look, those four grapefruits are on the floor already. Maybe I'll take them, maybe I'll eat them on Shabbos. So it's no longer an issue of muksa, because I've identified before Shabbos something I want to take, but what there would be a violation of is an issur d'oraisa of ma'amir. Now even that is a little questionable. Some suggest whether fruit is really gedulei karka or not. So there's a little bit of an issue with that, but we assume certainly it would be an issur d'rabbanan at least of collecting it. And then the other somewhat more practical issue
that probably would happen even in today's day and age, even for those people that don't have grapefruit trees and gardens in their backyard, suggests Rabbi Ribiat that if you making a bouquet of flowers on Shabbos would be a violation of Amir. Because that's even in the house. That would be the equivalent of making these date cakes, right? That you have it separated, and still the minhag is to put it closer together. So that would be a tolda of Ma'amir. So just as putting a date cake together is a problem, so too putting together a bouquet of flowers may be a problem. So that's a suggestion that he has. He doesn't make a suggestion. He says it's a violation. It's an interesting thought. So while the lumdus a little bit, the machlokas Rashi and Rambam is interesting, and perhaps this is the one malacha of the Doraisa that is found in the Torah itself, perhaps it's a machlokas of the Gemara, whether it happens regularly in today's day and age in our current living situations is a little more questionable. Gathering eggs.
They don't grow them,
right? They're not going to do like karka.
Well, that's
also subject to debate, but I know. I don't believe it's an issue, though. I don't believe in passing it's an issue.
Could you gather it?
Well, it's a muksa issue. But once again, if it was before Shabbos already, so then in theory you'd be able to take the exit. Sure, but the Jewish neighborhood in Phoenix is actually...